My name is Tom Jacobs, and I'm an evolutionary astrologer and a medium and also a channel. And in my work, I combine all of them. But this July, I decided to go on tour and let people know that I'm doing channeling and kind of introduce them to these events, because I've been known as an astrologer mostly since I started doing this work 8 years ago. And when I do readings, sometimes I'll bring spirit guides through, and that's kind of a channeling thing. And then sometimes it'll be this ascended master. But the teachings that he offers that I translate into astrology for people in their lives are great on their own. So that's the purpose of this evening, is to give you this insight from this ascended master on this topic. This ascended master will speak about anything. He will speak for weeks about anything, because his commitment is to help us understand why we create what we do. So we can bring a question to him and say, can you help me understand why this thing is happening in my life? And he will show you the bird's eye view and then how that fits into the human journey context, and then all that is learning through human journeys. And so he's just an incredible resource for answering important questions. My relationship, well, I'll just say who he is. I call him Jehudi, and that's his Egyptian name. Because when things get a little later in the Earth timeline, and he's referred to as Thoth or Toth by the Greeks, the conception of him changes, because the conception of these beings and gods changes. So I go straight back to the Egyptian conception, and it helps us bring a certain vibration into the room with us, other than speaking about Thoth or Toth. We're sitting with Jehudi. It's a big difference. And people will channel Thoth or Toth, and it's channeling, but there's this thing about getting back to the Egyptian name that I find really important. So he's also known as Saint Germain, and many people know him as that. As Saint Germain, his mandate is to guard or keep the violet flame of forgiveness, and this is a violet flame of forgiveness that is available to anybody. You just sit down and call on him, and if you open your heart, he will come. When I've channeled him, that face of him directly, and when I've done this for clients, and he shows up holding the space of compassion, and then by being there offers you the opportunity to release whatever keeps you from compassion. So it's a real gentle thing, and he's going to come through in that face in some ways tonight, because as he explains basically why the patriarchy exists, that we're all reeling from the pain of 6,000 years of treating each other this way. That perspective of compassion and forgiveness is critical, really, really important. So he'll come through that way. And you will notice a softening in the voice, in my voice, when that happens. Most of the time, it's going to be kind of a gentle, academic, tell it like it is, and that's more like Jehudi and Thoth. If he talks about sexual healing, which he might, he's basically going to read all your minds and see what's important tonight. There are a couple main avenues that the goddess teaching can take, and one of them is sexuality, sexual healing, and relationships. Another one is food and how we eat. So I never know what he's going to do based on, you know, how and why we eat. And so you never know. But I just kind of flip back and forth, just stay connected to the being. When I started working with him, he was my astrology tutor. and I felt that I had learned as much as I could learn about soul, specifically from human astrologers, and I still had questions. So I asked if there were any benevolent beings who might want to come through and tutor me, and he just showed up straight away. But I had to become willing to basically align with his consciousness, and that took several years. And so he would, as though from the other room, call out answers. And I put them into play, and they vibrated very highly. And I said, wow, this is great. I don't even know who this is. I don't even care. Some high-vibrating being who's giving me help. And then after 5 years, one day I figured out who it was, and then he started coming through directly because I was unwilling to experience it. I want to make some announcements, just practically. There are 3 books that I've channeled from this being. That are kind of a series, and I have copies of each that I'll have available afterwards. One is called Approaching Love, and it's about karma, relationships, marriage in the patriarchy, karma mates, soulmates, also about our conceptions of children and our relationships with animals as pets and food. So it's all these things about love and relationships, including different animal kingdoms. And the second one is understanding loss and death, and that goes through when people die young, how souls create deaths, how we can release ourselves, including things that seem accidental and things that are choices, like abortion, and things that are not choices, like miscarriages, how that works with the soul's journey. And then the third book is God as Past, Present, and Future. And so you'll be hearing teaching from that book tonight. But just so you know, these are really important baseline teachings for all of us as we head towards 2012, as we seek the reasons why things are happening the way they are and to expand consciousness. So check that out. I also have a lot of MP3s that I've channeled from him, me and my house, and also just sitting with the microphone channeling him, and also some events and conference calls. And I do those too on a regular basis, monthly usually. So you can sign up for my mailing list if you want to be informed of those, like an hour a month. The last stop on my tour is Fairfax, California. So if you know people there, you can let them know I'm coming, and the details are on my website. It's an event on Sunday the 24th at the Crystal Chalice. Fairfax is not far from San Rafael in Marin County.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And where are you from?
Originally?
Where do you call home?
I'll say it this way. Right now I live in Tucson, Arizona. But that's just where my stuff is and where I live. Okay, so when he starts to come through, he will introduce himself, and he'll say more about himself than I've just done, to kind of set the stage, and he'll lead us through a meditation together. He will ask that you keep your eyes closed for the duration of the teaching, and that way you can experience the vibration instead of having your brain watch this person who's practically imaginary channel the thing. Yeah, and he will take questions. He loves answering questions, general and specific. So you'll have that opportunity too. Okay, so if you just get comfortable and close your eyes, and he's going to start with the meditation, and then he'll introduce himself once that stage is set. Good evening. This is the Ascended Master Jehudi speaking, also known as Saint Germain and Thoth or Toth, and also Merlin at times, and other names. First, we will do a meditation together to create a space in which to unfold the teaching you will receive this evening. So please be comfortable in your chair and let your breathing be relaxed and slow. And let the air intake be deep. Let this breathing be deep. Notice where there is tension in your body, and some of it will be happy to leave immediately, and some of it will not want to leave, and be fine with this. Do not push or stress about this. Please send cords from the bottoms of your feet and your root chakra, or first chakra, into the earth. Your target is the center of the earth. And send them down. We're going to get grounded before we begin. Now, through these cords, breathe the energy of the earth into your body. Some of the tension that before did not want to leave from your day or your week will want to leave now because it is met by this calm, grounded energy. And some of it will stay and be fine with that too. But the energy of the earth will calm you if you allow it to come in to your body. It will slow you down and make you more receptive in your whole being instead of through your body and or your mind, and senses alternatingly. So on your inhales, you breathe in this energy from the earth, and on your exhales, you breathe it back out. But on these inhales, allow it to fill you. Allow it to reach all parts of you. Slowly, gently, reaching all parts of you, so it fills you. And I want, before we begin, for you to notice how this feels. The quality of this energy. Because you are, in fact, in choosing to open, to bring this energy into your field and body, you are connecting with the goddess right now. And this is our topic this evening, the return of the goddess. And so I wonder where she has gone that she must return. She is, in fact, everywhere all the time. She is, in fact, in your bodies. She is, in fact, in the natural world and the earth itself. We are speaking not actually about the return of a being, but a shift in conception and acceptance of the natural feminine energy. There are just two energies. And we will, in this teaching, this evening, unfold for you why one has been emphasized over the other and how to come back into balance as individuals and as a collective. Some of what I share with you this evening, you will say, yes, I know this. I've always known this. This is ABCs to me. Basic building blocks of knowledge. I've always known this. And as I tell you things, then you say, yes, I know. I wish that you understand my view of you, that you are multidimensional beings living many lives spread out all across the Earth timeline. And yet, as I emphasize you are multidimensional beings, you will say, yes, I am aware of past lives. I am aware that there are multiple me's, though they have different genetics and names and ideas and lives all across the Earth timeline. What you are ready to understand at this point in your evolution as a human is that you are energetic beings. You experience energy and you respond with emotion. Therefore, as I say to you, you have lived lives all across the Earth timeline. I wish that you also understand that from the soul's perspective, there is no such thing as time. The soul exists outside time and observes each of these human lives it is living. It observes each one unfold. As a consequence, it is possible, and it is happening all the time, that energies and emotions in one life carry over into other lives. Those of you who have had Akashic Record readings and past life readings and regressions and things like this understand this experientially, because you are tapped into a feeling that you already have, but it is now safe or ready for it to come to the surface and be explored, and it is related to another life somewhere else on the Earth timeline. But now, the year 2011, instead of the veil temporarily parting, the veil is in fact dissolving before your eyes. The veil between worlds, between dimensions, and therefore, you are now more in touch with all of the passions and dilemmas, goals and fears that all of your various lives are experiencing. And so I say to you something and you say, yes, this is obvious, I know this. You are carrying levels of consciousness linked to other lives where those yous do not get this. The more you expand, the more your consciousness evolves, the better off your soul is. And in fact, speaking of quality of emotional life, the better off all of these other lives are, even though Earth events, according to the timeline, are set in these lives, meaning they have already happened if they are according to the timeline in the past. But I seek at all times to connect you to soul. And so open to these teachings, even if they seem very obvious, even if they seem that everyone you know and everyone you have ever known know them. I ask that you keep your eyes closed during the duration of this teaching so that you can experience the vibration that I have brought to this room, and that you can experience it without your mind analyzing it or looking at this channel and being conscious of his physicality or being conscious of your own physicality, though you will of course shift at times during this teaching. You cannot sit still for 2 hours, of course not. So you are multidimensional beings living lives all across the Earth timeline at many points. You are having experiences that teach you what it is to be human, and yet you are also assigning meaning to wonderful and painful experiences, and this is karma. The karma that you have been collecting during the time of the patriarchy, which is approximately 6,000 years, has an incredible amount to do with masculine and feminine. So as we say, the goddess is not a being who is ready to return. This is not the implication of the title of our teaching for you today. It is that within you, you can come back into balance and thereby end the patriarchy in loving ways without anger, but you must understand why it has happened. I will say briefly my role in all of this, why I am coming through to speak about this topic for you. You find this term ascended master, and it has a capital A and a capital M, and it seems very important. And the beings who have this label applied to them, they are thought to be much more spiritually evolved than humans. What I wish that you understand today and going forward is that this large number of ascended masters are in fact beings exactly like you, yet they have manifested certain intentions about spiritual evolution. They are souls just like you. They are slivers of divinity, portions of all that is, portions of the divine intelligence. As you live lives, you are within the game space, so to speak, of the space-time dimension. And we, these ascended masters, we stand around the edge helping you out, giving you tips and guiding you in ways and about issues that you cannot see, you cannot always understand. Yet as I come through, my commitment is to the unfolding of the divine plan. And that is this manifestation experiment you are all living. Each of you is a portion of all that is. This was necessary, this split was necessary so that you could learn about yourselves in this way. Yet the perfection of the divine plan is that while you are embodied, your consciousness is raised to the point where you remember your true nature as divine beings. So my role in teaching through this channel on this topic and countless others, in fact, as he said, I will speak about anything, because for you to understand the big picture of why you have created something raises your consciousness. And this is my goal, to support you in your evolution as conscious beings, whatever that takes, whatever it means to do so. Some of you after this evening will say, that is a being I might like to know again sometime. And so I say to you, I'm available to each and every one of you. Spend time with my vibration tonight and, so to speak, bookmark it, and you will find me again if you want to. I'm available to every human in all of my faces, all the different, so to speak, radio stations on which I come through. So I seek to give you this teaching so that you can end the patriarchy, come back into balance when it comes to masculine and feminine, and be precisely who you are during this time of immense evolutionary opportunity. 2012 has to do with the evolution of consciousness. in order to evolve consciousness, which is to say, in order to know yourselves as the divine beings that you are, you must understand why you have created everything you have created. Then you must accept responsibility for all you have created. You have to understand all the painful things you have created are creations of powerful beings. And when you accept this, and then you can draw a line in the sand in this moment of understanding. Aha, I understand what my soul is here to achieve. I understand what all that is seeks to do in all these billions of humans and these billions of animals. I accept responsibility for what I and we have created thus far with a lack of consciousness through ignorance of what this is. And I can now choose to move forward with conscious awareness. So that is a framework for our conversation this evening. Why it has happened, accepting responsibility for it, and then choosing to move on with conscious awareness. This is the formula I teach at all times. Humans on Earth have been reeling from the pain of events and experiences that result from this philosophical system known as patriarchy. I will now discuss what this is, why it was formed, and how it developed. To your eyes and to your pained hearts, it seems that it is about the diminishment of the feminine. And this hurts you deeply. It actually hurts every human, even the humans who are in the position of hurting other humans through this imbalance. And yet when it began, it was about the elevation of the masculine. Think about that for a moment. You are reeling in pain from the hatred of the feminine, the hatred toward the feminine, in the form of animals, in the form of women, and the social structures that keep everything that is natural and wild either at bay or under wraps. Everything that cannot be controlled is feminine. This is not to say that the feminine is chaos, but it can be. It has a natural chaotic element within it. But to your minds, which have been shaped by patriarchy, saying what cannot be controlled is chaos, is actually a leap. It is an assumption that is incorrect. There are two energies, masculine and feminine. Masculine, wherever it finds itself, seeks to do, and seeks to direct and shape and control whatever it finds around it. Feminine energy, on the other hand, seeks to be and to experience and sense and feel and open to sensing and feeling and being. Within each human, there is a natural balance of these two energies. Whenever one perceives separateness regarding these energies, the masculine within and without will always try to control the feminine. That is its nature. And so the patriarchy is not, in fact, a diminishment of the feminine in spirit. It's in its philosophy. That is an after effect, I will explain. The original situation is that it is the elevation of the masculine. You hit a point in your evolution when you needed to begin doing. You as a collective needed to do. You were noticing that there were things about you that set you apart from other animals and other life on Earth, and you got it into your minds that you were somehow better. This is as a collective, as a species, this spread. And you decided that because you were better, you have these wonderful thumbs and these complex codes of linguistic communication, you didn't need to suffer as the ignorant animals always do, subject to weather events, subject to disease and disaster and violence from other animals. And you perceived yourselves as better. Now, up to this point, the Earth itself was considered your mother. and your mother was the goddess. And everybody knew it. This was the way of life. And in this breaking away, in order to protect yourselves, because you did not deserve to suffer, you thought, look at how evolved we are. We are the apex of all life on earth. We should not have to suffer, and yet our mother is not protecting us. Our mother is not meeting our needs. And it is, in fact, as a 13-year-old child rebels against a parent, regardless of what that parent is doing, regardless of the intention of that parent, the 13-year-old can rise up and say, I have something to say about myself. I deserve to take care of myself in ways that work for me, and to say no thank you to what does not work for me, or get out of my face, depending on the nature of the 13-year-old. And so this is the patriarchy, a 13-year-old's rebellion against the mother who is not protecting it. This is where your species has been as a collective. Of course, many individuals are not there, but for 6,000 years, this is what's been unfolding on Earth. You are now at the cusp of an age change, and it is significant. So everyone in this room understands this and is not caught in the negative part of this way of thinking, this mindset. But as a species, you are all shaped by this over the last 6,000 years, and you have lived lives as men, and you have lived lives as women. And you are carrying all of the history of the patriarchy within your energy fields and therefore your bodies. And this is why I tell you things you know. This is why I tell you all of this. So in order to protect yourselves, you decided to elevate the masculine. Well, actually, we're going to build structures to protect ourselves. We're going to start using the raw materials lying around. We're going to make the world what we want it to be like. We are no longer passively accepting what our mother gives us. We are action-oriented now. And that is the seed, the generation of the patriarchy, elevating the masculine, which is about doing, controlling, shaping, directing, managing, building, fashioning, working. In order for this to work, however, the feminine then did have to be diminished. It is natural that when one is elevated, one is naturally diminished. One is emphasized, one is naturally de-emphasized. In other words, prior to this, you lived in relative balance, but you were passive as a species. The collective consciousness did not include the understanding that your will was important. And so you sprang into action and devalued the feminine. Well, look at what you have built. You have built a world. You have covered the world, practically, in parking garages. That is a joke. But you have covered the world in things you have built. You have gathered together in cities and built infrastructure and built skyscrapers and high-rises. And you have built trains and roads and schools all the way out there. And people can live all the way out there and travel. This is a result of you expressing your divine will as humans. We get to decide how our world looks and how we experience our world. That is a masculine perspective. And so, as I speak soon, in the next few moments, in the next hour, about coming back into balance, that is about coming back into balance. It is not about dropping what you have done, because it is destructive. It is coming back to your hearts, coming back to your bodies, coming back to a connection to the earth, such as I invited you to do at the beginning of our time together this evening. You have never, I wish to say, lived in balance with these two energies. This is your evolutionary opportunity now, to learn what that is, to be active, yet to also be aware of the effects, aware of how others receive your action. So you see this pendulum swing, which is the patriarchy. The answer is not to put the women in charge, because the men have been in charge too long and they have messed it all up. that is not the solution at all. It is also not the solution to focus on changing the largest systems of your patriarchal world. The solution is for each individual to understand this teaching and to change how he or she lives and why he or she does what is done. We will now go back to some whys and hows of the patriarchy. This adolescent rebellion, this 13-year-old shaking the fist, so to speak, at the Divine Mother, "You cannot treat me this way. We will not put up with it." This follows an attempted, or this is followed by an attempted divorce from that mother. So the relationship that humans have now with the earth as a collective reflects this. And yet something is missing, and it is the influence of the mother. It is the divine feminine. Those who created the patriarchy, those who were the shapers of this philosophy, the technicians and builders, understood clearly, without doubt, that every human has masculine and feminine within. Was never in question. And it was never the point of the patriarchy to stamp out the feminine, but it is to shape its expression into something manageable. So to elevate the perspective of doing, the masculine, naturally de-emphasizes or devalues the perspective of being, sensing, feeling, experiencing of the feminine. One of the major ways that this has happened is through sexuality. On the channel, Seth Adams is how I know him. He did not mention that, but I refer to him as Seth, though you have met Tom this evening. So this channel, Seth, has said to you there are two main avenues Jehudi likes to go down, talking about the patriarchy and the effect on individuals. And one is sexuality, sex, and relationships, and the other is food and nutrition and how we treat the earth. And so, yes, sexuality is a big thing. I will, however, he left out something, and that is that I will focus now on marriage as an example of a tool of the patriarchy. So you understand more about this institution, and you have an opportunity to release whatever you feel that might be negative about it. This is our focus this evening. This institution of marriage has been brought about to support the prime patriarchal goal, which is to pass property down through male lines. In the animal kingdom, it is understood that the female of a species can mate with more than one male in a relatively short period of time, and therefore the male might not know who his children are. Even though you have been taught that you are not animals, that you are better than the animals, this was taken into account and the institution of marriage was developed. In order to get humans to buy this, natural sexuality of all kinds needed to be demonized. This is a tremendous source of the pain that humans carry in their fields and bodies now. As it comes out in individual relationships, there are all kinds of reasons that people treat each other the way they do. There are all kinds of motivations of a psychological nature that are understood. For this is why this person has treated this person that way. This is why this experience via sexuality has unfolded the way it has. And yet, everything that is imbalanced about sexuality reflects the divorce from the goddess that you are all feeling so acutely and painfully. Marriage is an institution to divorce you from the goddess. To keep you separate from everything that is natural when it comes to sexuality, and also your heart when it comes to love. Think for a moment about what, when you were a child, you thought about marriage. Some of you will say, I wanted it, and some of you will say, I would never have it. Think about your attitude towards it when you were a child. That attitude is, in fact, a karmic carryover from other lives. If you were eager to do this, if you imagined yourself growing up and getting married, whether having children or not, understand that you are living lives on the Earth timeline where you are enjoying marriage. If you can't stand the idea and are ready at the age of 7 to refuse ever being married, this is different from boys or girls have cooties. You understand this. This is very different. But this idea, which is thrown around constantly in your culture, that you are supposed to grow up and be married. So if you refuse to do this, you have lives on the Earth timeline where your marriages stink. They go poorly. So just look at your attitudes toward this. And then as you have aged, your attitudes could have shifted in the other direction as other memories from other lives surfaced. And then, as you became an adult, perhaps you did marry. Consider how those attitudes when you were a child carried over or were reversed as an adult, and understand for a moment what it is you were thinking and feeling as you were married, as you became married, as you stayed married, perhaps as you were no longer married. This institution of marriage is the instigator of much karmic debris that is in your systems now. And my intention by exploring this is that you see clear to release the pain that you have been carrying if you do. There is actually not a human who has not lived a life in some patriarchal culture over the last 6,000 years. Some people think they've just gotten here. And we do not argue with them, but I tell you that you have all been reincarnating again and again along this timeline. So the primary goal of this philosophical system that now blankets the world is to ensure that property, possessions, and therefore power, is handed down through male lines. But a man must know who his children are. So the natural feminine sexuality must be demonized. A woman's relationship with her body, including its cycles and how it unfolds as the body of an animal on Earth, how her chemistry functions, how her menstruation unfolds, how her sexual desires are present and wax and wane, all of this must be brought under control or seen by her through the eyes of a masculine perspective. From the masculine perspective, the feminine is a mystery. You have been taught that the feminine is a mystery, and then you grew up to be a woman, and you said, this is not really that much of a mystery, it's just what it is. But this masculine perspective that shapes this culture has told you that we cannot understand women. They are incomprehensible, and then there's laughter. All kinds of jokes about this in your media, your entertainment. So it's become a source of entertainment, actually. You are ready to heal from that as well. So marriage is a lifelong commitment to make sure that the man can, on an ongoing basis, own the woman. A portion of this teaching, the channel Seth jokingly refers to as ending patriarchal sex. He came up with a better title, which is called conscious communion, but he started with ending patriarchal sex. And patriarchal sex, as I see it from my vantage point, this bird's eye view, is that a man will ejaculate his semen into the woman he legally owns, so to create children that can be indoctrinated in his particular patriarchal philosophy that he has received from other men. In a marriage, the woman is supposed to be of service by bringing children and by caring for them and by feeding everybody, preparing, cleaning, cooking, all these things. And as this is where I remind you that even though this might not be your life, you have been shaped by 6,000 years on earth with this, and you are now ready to release it. If it is in fact not your life, you probably have terrible experiences living this way in some other life. Feeling trapped in the role of bearer and raiser of children. There are many humans now who are refusing to have children. It is not a spark of desire in their hearts to have children. And some of them are essentially baby-making machines in other lives. They might love their families. They do love their families. So it is not an issue of love. But feeling used for this patriarchal purpose of generating good little children who will believe the nonsense, that can be difficult. So when you have lived lives as men, in order to be successful in your communities, in order to be acceptable by them, and to in some way get ahead or stay where you are, you have had to treat women and the feminine in certain ways that feel terrible to you. You have even been faced with hurting specific women you love because of social convention or religious law or even state law, because they transgress one of these patriarchal edicts. This has been very painful for you. And when you have lived lives as women, you have received this treatment. You have been expected to behave in certain ways, and you have seen the results of intense sanctions for the women who do not behave this way. Now, as I said, each of you has lived lives as women, and each of you have lived lives as men. Each of you has experienced both sides of this. The human collective struggle, as all that is, the divine intelligence, forgetting its true nature, embodied as humans, trying to figure out the right way to deal with the feminine. Thus far in the patriarchy, it has been an idea. Before that, it was not, but you were passive, remember. So the patriarchy, I wish that you understand, is actually an incredibly important stage in your evolution as all that is. In other words, God, goddess, creator energy, needed this imbalance in order to learn about itself. Yes, we can make a decision about our true nature that ignores half of us, that shames and demonizes a half of our natural being. Yes, we can do this. And so as I say to you, this is an expression of your divine will. Please be grateful for what you have learned. Because now you no longer, as a collective or as individuals, need to learn what you're here to learn through that lens. Many humans, over time, over the last 6,000 years, have in fact created marriage to work for them, where the woman may be more respected than the culture shapers in this masculine lens might expect, where the man might listen to the woman more, where there is give and take, which is not based in what you are told God says through Scripture, where there is respect and honor, not through patriarchal religion lens of what it tells you honoring a woman means. Be grateful that she is churning out babies and ruining her body. Be grateful that she is emotionally exhausted because she is doing the Lord's work. Honor her because she is leaking all of her creative energy in the service of this imaginary God. This mind's idea of what God would be like. all of you in this room with me here this evening, please take a deep breath and then release. Thank you. Continue to do so if it works for you, but I wanted at least one together. And so this whole state of affairs, including marriage, is your creation. Can we legislate love in order to serve a philosophy? Isn't that interesting? Can we trade each other in essentially economic and political favor games in order to improve our lives politically and economically? Can we trade, and then can we actually love each other having been matched up without knowing each other? Can we be traded in marriage? Can we grow if we do that? Will we spiritually prosper if we are creating children with people that we didn't choose to be with? See how that feels. Think of all the women on earth over the millennia who have opened sexually and opened their hearts to people they do not like in order to have children and be therefore acceptable. Many of them have come to love the men they are with. And you have all experienced this as men and as women, by the way, just to keep reminding you of this truth. Because even as in one kind of body now, you have actually lived in both. And all of it you are carrying in your body now. What is it like to make love with a person you do not care about? What is it like to be committed for life to a person that you are expected to grow to love, but perhaps do not? You might respect a person. You might admire a person. You might appreciate many things about a person, but if you do not open through love, you will carry debris later. One of the things I wish to emphasize with this is one of our endpoints with this conversation about marriage, is that there are people in your life now that you have had relationships with, romantic sexual relationships with, who are also having these sorts of relationships with you in other lives along the Earth timeline. And you are now confronted with perhaps being in different kinds of bodies, whether reversed or in the same kinds of the same gender, or reversed or in the same setup. You are now a woman, you were a woman, this other person is now a man and was a man. And you are confronted with how to have a relationship now, even though there is an intense karmic history, of, I do care about you, but I don't open to love for you. I don't open. I don't flow when I'm around you, but I feel connected to you. This is another thing I wish that you release in this life. Opening to another, opening to love in the form of another, or being inspired by another, brings you to experience your divinity. When you have had relationships in this life that do not fit this profile, I wish that you now, while we are here together, release what you carry from it, including the karma, which is the belief about why you created that for yourself. I wish that you surrender regret. There are people that you have these relationships with in many lives. You feel connected to as souls. The souls have agreements, but perhaps you are never truly chemically compatible. Compatible. But the way it sounded was combatible, didn't it? chemically combatible, engaged, engageable. So release that. Accept it as part of your learning journey. Thank this other person for being a mirror for you, being willing to have a relationship where you did not open, into which you did not open fully in your divinity. Thank that person as a teacher, as a karma mate. You would say soulmate, I say karma mate. And release him or her to his or her future. Choose to release this person across time in all of your soul's manifest lives. And then take another deep breath and release it. And as you have done this with one person in mind, perhaps not everybody in the room has this experience in their lives, and that would be wonderful. It would just be the journey you're on. But as you have done this, you can go through your history, even with friends that you sort of don't trust, with family members you are irrevocably tied to emotionally, but you might not be comfortable with. Do this with all of them. Understand they are reflecting to you portions of your karmic conditioning surrounding marriage. This runs very, very deep and will therefore come out in all sorts of relationships for you. And there are also people, for example, who are blood relatives in this life, who are spouses in another, with whom you are having patriarchal relationships and unpleasant patriarchal sex. One of the phrases in the channel's mind is that you, each of you, can end the patriarchy by healing it within you. And this conversation that we are having now is a primary route to do this. Anything that carries an emotional charge from your relationship and your sexual life is fodder for healing. An emotional charge can be categorized as pain, sadness, grief, anger, regret, this kind of thing, any charge. If your heart does not soften when you think of someone you have been involved with, then there is some opportunity for you to heal some things and release things. The healing here has much to do with relabeling the files where these experiences live in your consciousness. For example, let us say that you do have a relationship in which you did not open to somebody, but you did make love with this person and it was something that didn't work for you. Well, I said it was that. There is a belief that was attached to that experience later. Whatever the belief is, it needs to be left behind. The belief is karma. The belief is actually a knot in your energy field that creates similar experiences elsewhere. This is a secret of karma, that you are, when you are full of karma, you are full of knots with little labels on them, and you must rewrite what they mean and to unlock the emotion stored in them. Yes. So let us say that the meaning attached to this was, I don't honor myself, I know better, and I don't take care of myself. That would be the karma. So now I invite you to accept that it was part of your learning journey as a part of the human collective, as a part of all that is, learning what it means to have right relationship and exploring a portion of that through this philosophy called patriarchy, where things are out of balance, intentionally so, where the input of each party is not valued equally. Accept that this is part of your soul's learning journey, and then accept that it is a part of the collective learning journey. And say, I take responsibility as a soul for creating your experience. understand that what you learned is not that, for example, you don't make good choices. That is not what you take with you. What you take with you is, I learned what not to do, and I also connected with somebody, and that person changed my life, and I changed that person's life. When you can accept gratitude for that teaching and accept responsibility for the positive teaching you left that person with, then you can begin to release this, because it did not mean what you thought it meant, what your mind thought it meant. I am always seeking to show you this perspective, this bird's eye view perspective, so that your mind can have less to do, because the mind seeks to protect you, and when you have pain, the mind will assign reasons why you experience what you do so that you can never repeat it again. You can always see it coming again. One of the truths that I emphasize repeatedly is that you are powerful divine creators. That you are creating the world around you. You are creating an experience as a human for yourself. And you are co-creating the experiences together with others. I emphasize this because when people have experienced pain, and every human has, it can be easy to see that somebody else has done something to you, or a situation, or a group, a government, a religious institution has done something to you. And yet, all you have experienced operates on two levels. One is, the soul intends to learn through human experiences, and what you have experienced is one kind of route to learning what you set out to learn as a soul. That is, these intentions of the soul are immutable. They are what they are. If you are setting out to learn about fairness and equality, then patriarchal marriage and patriarchal sex would be a wonderful way to learn the negative side of it, whether you are a man or a woman. And you alternate between each. But in any given life, whether you are one gender or the other, learning about equality through inequality.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, please.
Can you speak of the pain that, a bit more about the pain that it inflicts on men to experience the patriarchy?
Yes. Thank you for that. Yes. To look into the eyes of someone about whom you care, and to know that to be successful, you must not care about that person's viewpoint. You must limit that person's expression and keep it limited. The truth about you as humans is that when you do open to each other, you open to your divine nature, and those that you mate with, even if you have not arranged it and you have not chosen it, of course you can open to these people, certain ones, depending on many factors. To know that you will live decades in this way of not really being able to honor your mate as your equal, that can be difficult. There is also the issue that it applies to each gender, but I will speak of it now. It is very important for your healing now. And it is that the nature of the genitalia, the physiology of the human sexual organs, the lingam or penis can function to insert energy where it goes. It can be sort of a broadcast antenna for what is happening in the mind and heart of the man. Think about the arc of energy that is potential through when it comes to insemination. This fluid is launched out of this body. And the nature of, so bear with me, you asked about men, but I will get there with this. This is important for each of you, for each kind of person, for each body. And the nature of the feminine is, of course, to receive this fluid and then to keep it, and the new life gestates within, is conceived within, and then gestates within. The patriarchy has trained men to be unconscious of their energy. They therefore leak it everywhere. They lose it because they launch their energies out of their bodies without consciousness. They are therefore disempowered. But this is not the worst part. The worst part is unconscious states of joining with a woman or with another man, but the idea of putting the lingam in another body. Whatever is in the mind and the heart can be put into that other body. So, even when it is not an issue of sexual violence or violation or molestation or rape or something like this, there is the issue of putting energy in another. It might seem like a very simple thing, and yet I'm going to go on laboriously about it because I wish that you understand fully the implications for your life now, given 6,000 years of patriarchal marriage and patriarchal sex, whereby the man has been trained to be unconscious about what is happening. If the woman is seen as a receptacle in order to create new life, and of course, this is one of those things where you say, I don't live that way, but over time you have been shaped by living this way. And your culture has been, your collective mind has been shaped by living this way. So the feeling of putting unconsciously your energy into somebody else will catch up to a man. There is an emptiness because he is losing energy and he doesn't even know what to do with it or how to do it differently or where it should go or what to do. There are also men and women now who have been, in various lives, men, who have been unsure about how to approach the feminine and have been overly aggressive and caused pain. That hurts a man too. This thing, this perspective about sexual violence and unconscious sex, it is all acting out the collective divorce from the goddess. Emphasizing the masculine energy at the expense of the feminine. And so everybody who perpetrates sexual violence or initiates unconscious or less than conscious communion is acting out the collective imbalance, the collective sickness, the grief that results from the disconnection from the goddess. So how does it hurt a man? He seeks the goddess. He seeks to know the goddess, to love the goddess, the divine mother, through the woman in his life. He craves this. It is the deepest craving he can have as a man, to love the goddess through a woman. To love the woman, but to love the goddess within the woman. To love divinely with this individual. And so he has been trained to be unconscious about what he does with his sexual energy. And some part of him knows deeply that he is not loving in the right way. And over time, this is deeply damaging to a man. The perspective on patriarchal sex that has developed holds that, again, a man puts his semen into the woman he owns so they can make babies according to the religious teachings. Enough of that, and the woman cannot connect with you consciously. And that is so damaging. Do you see this? Do all of you see this? There is not a man alive at any given point on the earth timeline, in any of your lives, in any of these eras, there is not a man who is not craving reconnection to the goddess. As you have sprung into action to emphasize this masculine perspective, you have created life through the lens of the masculine mind. The channel was having a conversation with a friend of his in Northern California about a goddess whose name, her name is Eris, name means discord and strife. And when he explained what this was, the woman said, "Let's talk about PMS." Because it had been on her mind that this mysterious phenomenon is actually not universally recognized in allopathic medicine as something to be dealt with seriously, to be acknowledged. The conception of what a woman's body should be like is what rules the day in patriarchal society. And it is with, frankly, good faith, but only through the mind, attempting to figure things out. Individual allopaths, for example, are not Satan incarnate or something like this. But they have been trained through a lens, through a certain sort of education and philosophy, that tells them what they are supposed to think a woman's body is like and is about and should do. Imagine women in your life saying, "I'm not sure that this exists," even as they experience it. And of course it happens in degrees, and different women have different experiences. But it is real. Now, the reason for it is not what we think, what you tend to think. It is a reflection of being out of balance. It is a reflection of the divorce from the goddess. It is a reflection of not feeling that the woman's feelings matter. This is all bottled up in her second chakra. And so if you, hearing this teaching, have an issue with this, and also PMDD, if you're familiar with that, it is a more extreme version of PMS. If you have this, understand that your endocrine system, and therefore your body, physiological form, are reacting to energies you are storing in your body. Some of these have been collected over time, over many lives, karma, and some of them have to do with the energies in place in your life currently. But it can be changed. It can be changed if you come back into balance. But back to this, how it hurts men. This lack of consciousness is incredibly damaging. As I said, there is not a man alive who does not crave reconnection to the goddess. Most of them would not admit it. But if they had it, in the form of a woman who held space as the goddess, who looked at them as the products of a 13-year-old's rebellious philosophy, angry, uninformed, lacking all the facts philosophy, and compassionately brought them into the present tense as regards what a woman is and what a woman offers, this man would be happy. This man would find relief from 6,000 years of divorce from his divine mother. Do feel free as we speak to say, "I have a question." I can tell some things are brewing in some minds, and I give you all the time you need. So I may not keep pausing to ask if there are questions, but please, when I do pause, get my attention, please, when you do have a question. There are men running around your world today who observe the effects of this history of putting a lack of consciousness, putting sexual energy with a lack of consciousness into a woman. And they are seeking to change the world and to have wonderful relationships that are healing, and this is wonderful. The tides are turning. Please be encouraged, because individuals are choosing to be conscious at this time. And I speak about the 6,000 years as one moment because you are all shaped by it, but I acknowledge individuals are having conscious communion. Many of you are connecting and with each other sexually and finding the divine. And this is magnificent and healing. And it ripples out into your world, this healing. Now, how this hurts women is perhaps more obvious, but I wish to say some things about this. Because, in fact, the humans in the room with me tonight, except for the channel, are women. Which is, in fact, a first for these channeling events through this channel. The channel would expect they would always all be women, but there are always men, but not tonight. Because of the nature of receiving this energy from a man, it is possible, and happens often, that the woman's energy field takes in the energy offered by the man during communion. It is possible for a woman to receive any sort of energy and transmute it and or release it. And this is the nature of that side of sexual healing, which in fact used to be practiced quite a bit thousands of years ago. It was a center, a cornerstone of the community. The priestesses of the goddess who understood these truths, this alchemical tradition, this magic of sexual healing. And yet, you are all full. Until you clear yourselves out. So it is possible for any woman in this room to function in this way as well. To meet a man, to receive what he is offering and transmute it and release it. And in the process, change him. Elevate his level of conscious awareness because he will have met the goddess. And so, a human soul that is born as a woman intends to have a particular sort of relationship as an embodiment of the feminine. Relationship with the feminine as an embodiment of it. Receptivity is a natural feature of femininity. And so as you embody the feminine, I invite you to step in conscious, clear, direct, loving, ongoing, consistent ways to not just be an embodiment of the feminine, but to embody the goddess and her wisdom. And again, I acknowledge that many women have gone different routes to doing this. The relative explosion of interest, for example, in learning belly dancing over the last 20 years. This was on Seth's mind because his host on this trip has taken a class in belly dancing, and it reminded him of just how many women he knows who have taken belly dancing. And perhaps it is not just in his sphere, but it is in his sphere, but it is more widespread, I can tell. To take back aspects of sensuality and sexuality, to be in the body in a way that is not sexual. To enjoy this dance, which is fun, but which has, in fact, over time become a symbol of sexuality. But to take it back. So many, many individuals are conscious and they are learning together and they are meeting each other and working together in healing and establishing this. But to be consciously an embodiment of the goddess is more. It is accepting the truth of this history of the patriarchy. It is accepting with compassion when a woman meets a man whose thinking is pretty much medieval. He has been trained. It is part of his soul's journey to be trained in a certain way, not to see the reality of women. So embodying the goddess at this time, at this juncture in time, is in holding space for individuals who are men and women, who are friends, who are family, who are lovers, who are spouses and mates, and who are strangers who happen to glance you out of the corner of their eye at the gas station, at the grocery store, who happen to glance at you and see you, to hold space for them to see what a woman is, not what a woman is supposed to be or should be. Does this make sense to you? Yes. It is an act of bravery that I assure you each and every one of you in this room has done at least once. Just embodied yourself and been who you are. And what I would love for you to do is to engage in certain healing processes or continue them, because many of you have been conscious of these issues and have worked with them to good effect, sometimes to profound effect. But what I encourage each of you to do is to continue this healing such that you regain what I can only term the power of the feminine. And now we start to speak about feminism. Because the power of the feminine is not in anger at the masculine. It is not in defensive postures at the masculine, toward the masculine. You cannot change ignorance with anger. You cannot heal abuse by being angry and acting upon it. So for those of you who were alive in the early 70s, think about that explosion of energy and think about how free individuals were beginning to feel because they could now express these energies, these feelings, these histories, this anger. Well, now, 40 years later, you are ready to learn that all anger covers over pain. And your job now is to compassionately heal yourselves as individuals and each other, and to lose all anger at the patriarchy. For some people, this has fueled entire lives. Angry at the models of motherhood that were offered in the 50s. Angry at the fear given toward a woman who didn't want to be a nurse or a teacher or a mother, but who wanted to be a scientist, or who wanted to be famous for something that women were not famous for, who wanted to innovate. All of the anger that you may have about this history and how this history has come to you, please understand that anger covers over pain. Go to the pain. Deal with the pain. This is the Return of the Goddess spiritual PhD opportunity for you.
Could you say something about fairly common psychological perspective?
Yes, please.
I tell you that the pain and depression is covering over anger.
Ah. Yes, well, you can see a cycle form. Yeah. Yeah, you do not feel that you can express your anger, you have the right, or you have an audience or the right, and then you get depressed about it. But at root, anger covers over pain because it is an attempt to react in a way that will defend the self. You cannot be angry if you have not been hurt, but I understand what you are saying. Thank you for sharing that. That's the mind, right? The psychological perspective is a product of this very highly developed human mind. Yes. But when you look within, if you are willing, let us say it this way, if you are willing to feel your anger, any of you, really willing to feel it, but whatever topic, not just what we're speaking about today, it will lose its steam if you are willing to feel it. And you will find grief or anger, sadness, regret, pain down there. Do you work in a psychological informed profession? Or?
I was an actress, and you have to study it to some degree.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Yes. So, would you mind answering a couple of questions for me?
That'd be fine.
In that route of study and development, what were your experiences when you opened to feel anger?
Fear. I was afraid of expressing anger.
But ultimately you did express it, yes?
There have been some occasions when I found my tongue.
Yes. I do not shame this at all. And I invite you not to feel trepidation about it being a reality. It is just an expression that you have needed. But when you did express it, when you went full force into it and you released yourself into it, what is it that happened?
I found out that I could handle words, not just verbally, but in written form very well. And I have fought some fairly successful battles against some fairly powerful interests.
Ah. So you were able to kind of harness that energy and you use it to feel empowered through language.
Yes.
Is that fair to say? I would like to speak about anger with others of you as well. Are there others who would share their experiences of either meeting the line before angry and pulling back, or giving in and finding out what happens next? I would like to speak about this, because to heal the collective's experience of feminine is very important right now, because the goddess cannot return if you are angry. Is there anyone who would like to engage with us about anger?
Yes.
But please go ahead. I would invite you all to also keep your eyes closed while we have this conversation. It is very easy to want to open your eyes when you ask me a question, but I will invite you to remain in this state. So please go ahead.
Lately, in my exploration of anger, when I sink into the feeling to explore the origin of pain behind it.
Yes.
I find something, it seems so deep that it seems unmanageable. I mean, it seems historic, like you say. It seems like a trap, a feeling of trap,
okay.
Being trapped for so long, not just in, just in this lifetime. So sometimes I fall into despair from discovering that feeling, that emotion, because it seems so difficult to climb out or to resolve, I don't even know what to do with it.
Okay. You have this experience as well?
Yes.
And others? Accessing something that seems kind of too big to work with?
Yes.
Yes.
Or have mixed to work with if the anger is against someone you deeply love, and at the same time you can cross into understanding their feeling and where they're coming from, that they are hurting you, they are projecting hurt and doing hurtful things to you, yet you see their driver. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. Does everyone understand what she is referring to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
experienced anger such that when I'm playing around with just feeling my anger and allowing it to dissolve or melt into compassion for the other, but also allowing myself to feel it because I notice that I feel much more self-love.
Okay. Thank you for that. I would like to offer something about this idea of, I mean, to kind of cover each of these, in one way, to cover each of these kinds of comments. As far as something that is too big or feels like it might be too big, what I would like for you to do is to send cords into the earth on a daily basis to establish that sort of new kind of baseline. The energy of the earth is fantastically giant. Yes, it is the biggest thing on the planet. And as your mother, Gaia is your mother. As your mother, she will receive whatever you have to offer. So as I said to you, approach a man with compassion for how he has been conditioned. The earth approaches you with unending compassion for how you have been conditioned. Some of us who have grief and pain and anger do not want to throw it at anybody, let alone the earth, our mother. Please send this to the earth. Now, you are dealing with feeling, I'm speaking specifically to the woman who said this feeling that has too big to deal with. It is too big to go into, to really go into, and to surrender to. Connect to the earth and say, there is a portion of this I am ready to release. Thank you to my divine mother in the form of the earth for being willing to support me in this. There is a portion that is ready to leave. Now, if you do this on a regular basis, say twice a week for a number of weeks, but you ground every day, you do the cords every day, it will start to melt and it will be a little bit more manageable over time. But you will also feel, on a consistent basis, the direct support of this divine mother of yours. You will feel the direct support of the goddess within you, the wisdom that is already within you. This is not something I've spoken of yet, but when you connect to the earth in this way, you open the door to be conscious of the already present wisdom of the goddess that is in your bodies as extensions of the earth. While you are incarnated here, your bodies are in fact energetic extensions of the earth, and your souls are anchored to the soul of the earth. So imagine the 6,000 years of everybody running around feeling divorced from their mother, but they're here, walking on her every day, eating things that grow within and on her every day. So as you are more consciously connected, the wisdom of the earth, the wisdom of the goddess, will reveal to you how you can best manage this giant energy. Does this make sense to you?
Yes.
And to all of you, yes. So it is big. You are carrying this cache of energy in your body, in your field, in your body. You're carrying it around with you from all of these lives. And yet, the wisdom of the goddess is already within you as well. The teaching on food that the channel Seth has mentioned involves being in your body in a particular way when you are choosing food and then preparing it and eating it. I will just summarize it briefly here for you because it actually presents a good model. It offers a good model for what I am asking you to do. The wisdom of the body is such that the body is constantly giving you feedback about what's happening. The goddess is constantly offering you feedback through your body about what your life is becoming. relationships, position in community, position in home, family dynamics, sexuality, food, nutrition, exercise, self-care, health, medicine. The body is constantly offering you a comment on what you are choosing. So the teaching on food says, approach what vibrates within you, what resonates within you. There's an exercise to go to the produce section of a store where there is organic, of course, because you do not want to be vibing with these sad little vegetables and fruits full of chemicals, covered in chemicals. But to close your eyes, send cords into the earth, take 2 minutes, which is actually a very long time in that kind of fluorescent lit environment. Take 2 minutes and feel which direction you are to walk. Your body will tell you. And then when you get there, for some reason, asparagus is the only food that seems to work today. This is what your body wants. Pick it up, feel its vibration, smell it, see what it smells like. On every other day of your life, it could smell terribly, but today it smells wonderful. Right? You see this wisdom of the body. The same way with approaching these fantastically large caches of emotional debris from the past, this pain. What is it that I need to do right now? With the intention to work through this in a conscious way, allow your body to instruct you what you need. And when you are dealing with some large feeling such as this, some overwhelming or threateningly overwhelming issue, your body will tell you what you need. You have all gotten a cold when you push too hard. You have all tripped and had twisted an ankle when you were moving too fast and not conscious of what you were doing, not grounded. So you've all had the experience of your body, you know, experiencing your choices in a reflective way, showing you the results of your choices, showing you the implications and the energies of your choices. So do the same when you are dealing with an intense emotional experience. Your body carries the wisdom of the goddess. So if you can slow down to listen and become grounded in this way, and some of you might need to go sit on a rock and sit under a tree with your back against the tree. Some of you may need to put your arms around and your heart and your cheek against a tree to get to this place of connected to the goddess through your body. Do it. You live in a beautiful place full of rocks and trees and green and water. But the goddess is always speaking. And so, to return to the goddess in a conscious way, on a daily basis, for any human, involves being willing to set intentions, because this is your divine power. And yet, having these intentions, not simply from mind, but from mind and heart and being and body and spirit, etc. And then when the intention is launched, this is what I am creating. Then to notice how others and the world respond. That is the attitude of receptivity. The feminine can get a bad rap because of the stereotype of passivity. The ideal feminine is receptive. What that means is it knows how to wait. It observes the right time, the right place, the right reason, the right motivation. It is feeling the energies of the moment, and it responds when those energies are right to respond. So, assert your divine power as a creative being, reflecting what you have learned as a collective through the patriarchal history. And also observe the effects and feel where this motivation comes from within you, and be willing to upgrade and evolve your intentions based on what is truly happening on all levels within your being and around you. Waiting for a response after you have issued a divine command through your intention. This is healing the goddess. Having a relationship with your food in the way I described. What does your body want today? You can even take this further and evaluate how you plan your meals, if you plan them, and what goes into that thought process, and the timing, and how much food you buy at once. How often do you go to the store? This kind of thing, the quantities you buy of things. And do you buy processed? That is a very obvious kind of processed foods. That is a very obvious kind of avenue to go down. But even with other things, how do you plan what you eat? And then how do you choose it on a daily basis? The channel becomes frustrated because his body says you must go to the co-op 4 times a week. And you must buy 1 banana and 1 apple and some spinach because we don't know what we want. We don't know tomorrow what we want. This is what I want now. And he, in his mind, in his doing mode, gets frustrated because he spends so much time riding his little bicycle to the co-op. Waiting in line and all this stuff. But this is what the body needs. We don't know what it needs tomorrow. And it also happens through relationships, this balancing, this assertion and also receptivity to the responses. Healthy human relationships are comprised of more than one person, each of whom has masculine and feminine within. Each person is a particular ratio, a particular blend of the two kinds of energy. Happy relationships occur, spark and unfold and root, when people who are more or less complementary regarding their ratios of masculine and feminine, regardless of gender, regardless of sexual orientation, find each other and can communicate in the same language and are attracted to each other, etc. So healthy relationship happens when that information, that wisdom of the goddess through the body is listened to. I want this, I don't want that. There is another issue about relationship, and this relates to healing this history of patriarchal marriage. If you have been, and each of you has been, if you have been married off for political or financial gain, you may carry a signature now of an incredible need to respond to someone's chemistry as opposed to what he or she says or, so to speak, how that person looks on paper. How a person looks on paper has to do with patriarchal conditioning. Well, this person says that she is an honorable person. She says that she treats people well and that she enjoys this and she is good to her dog. Well, what people say and what people want you to think has a lot to do with the appearances that you are told you are supposed to have. So you need to sense into how people really behave. With compassion, but with awareness. On paper has gotten people into marriages that are terrible until they really live with somebody for 3 years and they realize what's really going on. 5 years, 10 years, 30 years, things come up. So one of the things that the goddess offers as a portion of wisdom is how a person smells to you. In that old pagan way of talking about it. Regardless of what is happening on paper, or who this person, what kind of people this person comes from, or where, or what kind of accent the person might have, or what religion, how does this person smell? That is the goddess telling you this is somebody to know or not know. This is somebody to be close with or not be close with. And this is somebody to open to or to remain closed to. So you see, there are all these simple ways of listening to the body through these different routes of life. Perhaps as you hear this teaching, you'll be inspired to evaluate how your friends and your other intimates smell to you. Please do this. Please be conscious of this.
May I ask a question?
Please.
When we perceive our body fails us, have serious illness?
Yes.
Is this our own making? Is this our lack of connection to her?
Okay. Yes. Yes. Please keep your cords into the earth intact as I answer this question for you. Yes. Yes. Yes, you are in a room full of supportive people right now. Okay. So.
Can you repeat the question?
When our bodies fail us, is it a lack of connection with her? Is that a fair restating of your question?
Yes.
Thank you.
The generality of when we have a serious illness come upon us.
Yes. When we have a serious illness come upon us, is that also a mark of this divorce from the goddess, is how I would say. Let us say that the body, in its constant communication with you about your choices and the reality of the energies that you carry, this body is always communicating. I invite you with immeasurable emphasis to learn the language of your body. To draw a line in the sand today, you in particular, this woman over here, but also each of you hearing this teaching, whether in this room or hearing this at another time, to commit to learning the language of your particular body. So yes, the goddess seeks to speak to you, your body speaks to you. As you progress through many lives carrying energies, labeled, this happened because I wasn't smart. That pain happened because I trusted the wrong person. These knots in your energy field that persist. Well, your physical body cannot help but manifest what is happening in your energy field. So I invite you to alter the perception that the body can fail you. Do you see this?
Yes.
You see how relief wants to come into your system because of that perception, that concept. Because you are feeling that perhaps your body is your enemy. Your body has failed you. Your body is not your friend. This is, in fact, your situation, but it is, in fact, an indication of the collective divorce from the goddess. Because you will also tend to judge yourself for having created or manifested a health issue that is devastating or painful. It is a creation of your energy field. It is a reflection of the person's energy field. When I say accept responsibility for what you have created, it is in no way a suggestion that you should judge yourself for having created pain and suffering for yourself. Do you understand this too?
Yes.
Thank you. But a part of you will want to, because a part of you knows you are creating everything. Yes. So nurture this part of you. Accept with compassion, this is the attitude it carries. This is the belief that it carries. Get grounded, say, yes, I remember there is a part of me that has this attitude. It believes this. And this actually reflects the divorce from the goddess, because your bodies are extensions of the earth. Your bodies are a part of nature, and your mind says, don't fail me now, body. And when something goes wrong, it is perceived, when something happens that is illness, it is perceived as something wrong. Well, it is something out of balance that has come to manifest. Do you understand this truth?
Yes.
So there is nothing wrong. Now you can learn to reconnect consciously with the language of your body, because prior to, I am assuming, but I should ask, is this a situation in your life?
Yes.
Thank you. I do not like to make assumptions, but I was. So thank you. It is a creation of your energy field, but you are actually in charge of what you believe. These knots that have labels in your energy field. So it is your creation, but please simply understand that you have over time accepted the conditioning that your body is somehow a machine waiting to break down, and when it speaks to you, it is not to be listened to. Because your body did manifest signals prior to the diagnosis of something serious. So release all the beliefs associated with this process as it has happened thus far, please. Draw a line in the sand, become present now to the symbolism that is being manifest in your body. Two ways to do it. One is through the chakra system, and are you familiar with these?
Yes.
And the other route is literal. So to speak, some people with past life experience of being stabbed in the back will manifest a birthmark on the back. So there are two routes to deal with it, kind of literal and symbolic versus the chakra system and how the emotions play into this. So the body sends little signals, and we do not know how to listen. So get grounded on a daily basis, hardcore. Commit to, in any way you can, learn the language of your body, not the language of the chakra system, the language of your body. This will require going through your emotional history from this life, which, by the way, echoes otherwise. But you will have to do that to do some what the channel calls emotional archaeology. To dig down through the layers of experiences to find the beliefs that are wrapped tightly around caches of pain, pockets of pain, and relabel them and release them. This did not happen to me because I was powerless. This experience from when I was 10 years old, whatever. For you, frankly, I am getting an age of 6 years old. So I would like for you to explore what is happening in your life at 6 years old on your own. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Yes. There's the beginning of a pattern at 6 years old is what I wish to share with you. Yes. Perhaps it is related to this situation. Perhaps it is not, but it will lead you into something related to this situation, if that makes sense to you. There's a chain of emotional events happening in your field, you know, that are all tied together, as with all humans. But you go down, you dig down, and you change the meaning of why an experience happened. It served the journey of your soul. It was a creation of your energy field, a reflection in the manifest world of what energies and beliefs and karma you happen to be carrying. So go through your emotional history, difficult relationships, pain, loss, abandonment, abuse, every single situation, and change your mind about why it happened. This channel, Seth, in his work, engages, it is almost a campaign of emotional archaeology. This is all he does. And it is a life's work. He will never be finished. It is a multi-life's work. He will never be finished. So do these steps that I have outlined for you make sense to you? Do you understand where you might go next?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for asking that question. It is actually very important because as the veil dissolves and people all over the world are feeling all these things from past lives, you have not yet understood that you are energetic beings. You therefore have not as a collective understood and have therefore not taught each other how to really truly process painful emotions that you carry. And the speed of manifestation is speeding up. It is increasing. So if you are in the camp that is moving into a glorious, so to speak, future of loving, compassionate awareness, but also realistic awareness of how you have created your lives thus far, the speed of manifestation speeds up. And if you are heading into victimhood deeper, the speed of manifestation speeds up. Learn the language of your bodies, please. The goddess within will support you in telling you what you need. Give the mind less to do and center in your body in this way. You're welcome. It's an important question. Yes, and this will be the last one. Yes, please go ahead.
There are some of us who have been raised with the idea that there is hell below and in the earth.
Ah, yes, yes.
And for those of us who have been raised with this idea, it could be very challenging to find
another good question. Thank you. We could do this for for days straight and not cover all the goddess teachings. So yes, thank you. This is a wonderful angle on this issue. Encourage these people to go to the grocery store as I have suggested. Do not tell them it has anything to do with the goddess or their bodies. Encourage them to close their eyes and sense which direction they might want to go. It will be challenging at first. They will not know what to do because the mind, when the eyes is closed, feels powerless. You can also explore eating raw vegetables with them. Does this make sense to you?
Yes.
Yes. Now, you essentially trick them into reality to bypass the fears of the mind. Trick them lovingly into reality with compassion and gentleness, by helping them be present, even if their philosophy never changes. And therefore their fears never change, they will be in their bodies and this will help us all. So that is the easiest way, actually, because everybody eats practically every day. Thank you for these questions and this willingness to share about your experiences. Heal this history within. Release the anger. Tap into the pain consciously and with compassion for yourself and all others. And you end the patriarchy. This experiment in what would happen if we asserted ourselves. Now you know. Asserting yourself with a lack of consciousness yields certain things. You are all healing from this now. So end the patriarchy by healing it within you. Thank you for joining with me in this time this evening. I will recede, and the channel Seth or Tom will come back to you and lead you back into your bodies and back into this moment before you begin to part ways this evening. Thank you for your time and energy and your interest in your evolution. So, just take a moment. You can keep your eyes closed if you want, if they haven't been closed. And do the whole toe wiggling, ankle flexing, just to make sure, because that was almost 2 hours that we were together under the influence. Okay. So I'll turn a light on in a moment for as we go out. To remind you of the three books channeled from him, which carry his vibration. Those are available. My mailing list, and I'm available for readings tomorrow. Just come up to me now. In the next few minutes, I'll be here for a few minutes to let me know if you want to schedule that for tomorrow. Thank you for coming and helping this tour be awesome. Thank you. You are welcome.